Hi, this is Kim McMillan, and this is Arts in the Valley at 1480 KYOS AM. Our guest today is Dr. Shira Miller. She's a Southern California concierge holistic menopause doctor and is the founder and medical director of the Integrative Center for Health and Wellness. She is an integrative medicine doctor that loves helping women and men who are struggling with the woes. I love how you put that, Dr. Miller, the woes of aging, in a relaxed, private, attentive, and convenient environment. Dr. Miller is a board-certified internal medicine doctor, and since 2006, she has been practicing integrative, functional, alternative, holistic, nutritional wellness, age management, anti-aging medicine. How are you doing, Dr. Miller?
Very well, thank you.
You know, I have a lot of women who are really interested in your information and are very excited about your being on my show.
I'm excited to get the word out.
Well, one of the things I really want to talk about is what is menopause, what is perimenopause, and what is postmenopause. Because most women, they say, I'm in this area. It's very gray. No one's quite sure which area they're in. Once they reach a certain age, I think somewhere between 47, I guess, and 60.
Right. So,
what is
menopause?
You
want me to go through it?
Yes, please, go through menopause. Take
okay.
us through.
Well, it actually starts before we're born as women. So before we're born, we have over a million eggs in our ovaries, and then they just start dying off. And they die off slowly, and then the rate of loss is increased as we get into our late 30s, and most women know that because that's the time period when it's harder to get pregnant for most women. That's the result of having less eggs. Now, most people are not really aware of this transition that happens around the age of 37 when there's an accelerated rate of loss of ovarian follicles or eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And so these eggs, they don't only allow you to be fertile and reproduce, but they also produce hormones. The most potent hormones which they produce are estrogen and progesterone. And sometimes there can be problems with the hormone levels and the hormone production, and the woman still has a period, a normal period. So she doesn't realize, and her doctor doesn't realize, that it may have something to do with her hormone levels.
Mm-hmm.
And so in terms of fertility, there's a lot of different ways of approaching that. But that's kind of, I want to say, the minority of the population.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the population just has the problem of the hormone loss, and that can be experienced through insomnia, weight gain, irritability, mood issues, that all pretty much get written off as some kind of a problem that has no answer, and that either therapy is going to fix or antidepressants are going to fix or pills for insomnia, anxiety. Hormones are, like, not even thought of as an option.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, most women, they go through this time period, and some have symptoms and some don't. Eventually, the period does become more and more irregular, and eventually it stops completely. So you lose your last egg, and that's it. So you are officially infertile.
Mm-hmm.
You are officially not producing any more of the estradiol and progesterone in noteworthy amounts. And in addition, you're basically in menopause right at that point.
Okay.
Okay, so you don't have your period. You can't get pregnant. You're not producing hormones. The average age that this happens is age 52.
Okay.
In most women, but it can happen to women who are in their late 30s. It can happen to women in their mid 40s, late 50s. The range is wide. Now, what happens is that from a scientific perspective, they don't define menopause until 12 months after you haven't had a period.
Okay.
And for scientific purposes, that may have some bearing. But for doctors and for patients, it really doesn't matter. Because the point is that you're at the end anyways. You're not producing estradiol and progesterone in significant amounts.
Right.
So, you know, and sometimes what happens for women that are in perimenopause, like they'll have their period and then they won't, and they'll think that they're in menopause, and then they'll get their period, you know, three
right.
months later, and they'll be like, oh, I'm not in menopause. I got my period. But really, It doesn't matter. Like, does it matter if you've got three more eggs or one more egg? I mean, so when you're at that point, it really doesn't matter clinically whether or not you're going to have a period or not going to have a period in 3 months or 6 months or right. 12 months. But officially, if you go to your regular doctor, they're going to say that if you haven't had a period for 12 months in the past, then you were in menopause. So it's kind of like this hindsight diagnosis.
Right. Right. Now, what are some of the common symptoms of menopause?
So it's the same as the ones that arose in perimenopause mm-hmm. that I mentioned, where perimenopause can happen basically 5 to 15 years before actual menopause.
Right.
So it's the same symptoms of, like, depression, insomnia, anxiety, irritability. Mm-hmm. And then when you really lose your hormones and you can start having, obviously, the hot flashes that everybody right. hears about, the night sweats, mm-hmm. vaginal dryness, which causes painful intercourse, low libido, loss of femininity, you can have this kind of brain fog. There's evidence that it increases the rate of atherosclerosis. There's the obvious evidence that it increases the risk of osteoporosis, so it's right. accelerated bone loss. Urinary incontinence is kind of like a longer-term consequence that right. happens with menopause. And muscle wasting is part of that. It's
My
not
God.
As pronounced. That's more related to testosterone. It's not really as much estradiol and progesterone. And testosterone, although it is produced in the ovaries and it does mm-hmm. decrease with menopause, not in all women is it required.
Okay. Now, how would you treat? How is your treatment of menopause different? What types of things do you do?
First of all, like any other treatment, like mm-hmm. you have to figure out what is the problem, what are you treating, what are you trying to do?
Right.
Okay. So I view menopause as a hormone deficiency, mm-hmm. estradiol and progesterone deficiency. So the same way that in conventional medicine, if you have a thyroid deficiency, they give you thyroid. Vitamin mm-hmm. D deficiency, which we all know by now is not actually a vitamin, it's a hormone.
Right.
Vitamin D deficiency, you get vitamin D. Insulin, which is a hormone, right? If you have mm-hmm. no insulin, you get insulin. So all these types of hormone deficiencies are treated with their appropriate form of hormone replacement. And so that's the way I look at menopause, is it's a permanent hormone deficiency, and it needs to be treated. Now, a lot of this, you know, it depends on your philosophy, on
right.
what your views of life are, because a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, it's natural, right? Just let it be. Embrace
right.
the change.
Right.
I don't look at it that way, because we're living longer, and from an evolutionary perspective, I don't believe that our biology has been designed to survive past menopause.
That's interesting.
Because of you know, technology and modern advances, which I highly praise, we are now able to live past our reproductive period. And so in course, if you want to take advantage of all those extra years that we have now, and you don't want to be drugged out on pharmaceuticals and not really being able to appreciate the length of your life, then I think that you should try to do as much as possible to maintain the level of health in all your organ systems as much as possible. And so the hormones, although by putting them back in the body, you're not going to be reproductive again, are going to get the benefits of hormone levels affecting the rest of your body.
Now, a lot of women, I'm in my mid-50s, a lot of women do not believe in taking any kind of chemicals now because their mothers were told that what's HRT, that was dangerous for you. It's better to not even risk taking hormones. And mm-hmm. so what is the difference between what you have to offer and that what was given to our mothers, say, 20 years ago?
Okay. So that's it's a very good, common question. Basically, the hormones that were used in the Women's Health Initiative that came out that said that, you know, it increased the risk of heart disease
right.
and breast cancer, those hormones are really chemicals, if that's the appropriate way to look at them.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that I look at it is that they're kind of like alien and foreign to the human body.
Right.
So Premarin, which was the estrogen hormone that was used in the Women's Health Initiative, that comes from pregnant mare's urine. So it's from horse estrogens, which is not bioidentical to human estrogens. Okay, it's a combination of over 20 different horse estrogens. There's a little bit of estradiol in there, but the point is that it's not the exact same molecules. It's not the same chemical
right. That
the human body produces, that female humans produce. So that being said, Premarin was actually not the worst of it. It's not ideal. It's also taken orally, which
right. Means
that you take it by mouth as a pill, and then it's digested by the liver, which can cause increased clotting, increased inflammation. So there's two things that are kind of wrong about Premarin, at least, that I want to talk about
okay. Today.
But actually, Premarin is not the worst of it. If I had a choice, if I had nothing available to me, I would definitely take Premarin if that was the only thing I had.
Right.
Now, the other kind of culprit, though, is the Provera, which is medroxyprogesterone, which is a synthetic progesterone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that, again, that's an alien molecule, never been seen on Earth before, and that was placed in women's bodies. And so, although it had the intended effect of reducing the risk of endometrial cancer, it does increase the risk of heart disease specifically and breast cancer.
Right.
So you want to avoid molecules that don't have a natural function in the human body
mm-hmm. If
you can, as much as possible. Now I'm a believer in acute medicine and in emergency medicine when you need it, or even in if you need a drug for chronic disease, if there's nothing
right. Else,
I get it. We need it. People want to live and they want to live well. But if you want to think about how form follows function
mm-hmm.
and finding the ideal molecules in the human body, then you want to use whatever the body is naturally missing.
Mm-hmm.
So the type of therapy that I use is called bioidentical hormone therapy,
mm-hmm.
and the molecules that I use are exactly identical to what your ovaries would have made when they were making them themselves.
Okay.
So it's exactly estradiol and exactly progesterone, not Premarin, not medroxyprogesterone, not any other kind of estrogen-progesterone combination.
Okay.
Bioidentical hormones is just the right ingredients.
Okay.
So if you're going to make a cake or whatever, you've got eggs, but what you do with those eggs matters. It's the same thing in terms of how you prescribe the bioidentical hormones.
Right.
There's a variety of different ways of doing it. You can still take it by mouth. You can apply it underneath the tongue. You can put it on the skin. You could put it through the vaginal wall. Like, there's a lot of different ways of administering the hormones. Then you have to also think about, how do you dose the hormones?
Right.
Do you give it the same dose every single day? Do you give both hormones every single day? So where are you going to go? How are you going to find out what the best way to do that is?
Right.
Unfortunately, for example, with Premarin and Provera, which was PremPro combination in the Women's Health Initiative study, that was a oral pill, and it was given every single day. Now, normally what happens with women's hormones is that the hormone levels fluctuate on a daily basis. So, like, before you ovulate, which usually happens on day 14, day 1 is the first day of bleeding by definition. Day 14 is when you usually ovulate. So a couple of days before that, day 12, you have an estradiol peak. And before that, it kind of starts rising, the estradiol levels. And then it peaks, comes down, and then it elevates a little bit to a more constant level for the second part of the cycle.
Okay.
Then once you ovulate, you go back to day 14, then your body releases progesterone. Okay, and the progesterone is there in preparation for pregnancy, in case you get pregnant.
Okay.
So after day 14, you have a buildup of progesterone up until day 21, in which time you have a progesterone peak. If you don't get pregnant, then your progesterone levels fall, and then your estrogen levels fall as well, and then you have a period, and it happens all over again.
Right.
So the point is that you want to try and mimic that kind of cycle as much as possible. And the reason for that is because we don't know anything else. Anything else that you're doing, you're basically just making it up. You're making it up. You're making up your own little formula about how hormones should be delivered. And so we're really just kind of trying to copy nature because that's the only guide that we have about how the human body functions. After puberty, it's basically that you have reproductive hormone levels that fluctuate on a daily basis, or you're pregnant, or you're breastfeeding, or you're dying, you know, menopause, which is flatline. You know, if you imagine where how you see, like, the heart rate of a rhythm going, you know, bidip, 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 and then a flat line. So that's kind of what happens with the hormone levels. That's the way I look at it.
Can bioidentical hormones, can they cause heart disease or breast cancer?
Not in my opinion. So bioidentical hormones, it's like you're asking me, can your own estrogen right now in your body cause cancer? So it's the same molecules that the human body is producing. So I think not.
Okay.
Right? Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to get cancer.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Are on bioidentical hormones, but the hormones themselves do not cause cancer, in my opinion.
What I like about what you're doing is, I don't think when you go to the average doctor, anyone's going to sit and talk to you about this type of thing. You know, I don't think they're going to talk in such language, in such a clear way about menopause. I don't picture a lot of male doctors. And that could be a prejudice on my part, so I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's women doctors, too, and I didn't know about this until I started doing it. I mean, it's really a specialty, and you have to understand that even within the medical profession, unless you're dealing with it every day and prescribing it, you're not going to be comfortable discussing it. You're not going to know as much.
Well, if I were coming to you and going through menopause, what would be the time frame that I would have a consultation and then end up receiving the hormones? What's the time frame that you diagnose and then you start the process and then see some differences? Is the whole process about 6 months?
Oh, no. Oh, that would be terrible. If you get estrogen into your system, I mean, it's within a week that you're going to be feeling better. So there's no months required. It's really within a few days to a week that you already start feeling significantly better, at least in terms of hot flashes and the sweats. Now, I don't mean everything's going to be completely gone within a week, but you're going to be already feeling much better.
Well, some of my... Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, some of my friends who are dealing with this are in there between 50 to 80. And some of them, they're dealing with hot flashes at 80, and then other people, no hot flashes at all. But what they do have in common is dry skin. Basically, their faces, their whole body seems like turning prune-like. And so does taking bioidentical hormones give the skin back some of its suppleness?
Yes, definitely. And there's articles on my website, specifically in the women's section, that talks about how estrogen affects the collagen production in the skin as well as progesterone, and that, you know, increases the firmness of the skin and reduces wrinkles. Now, that doesn't happen in 10 days or a week. That could definitely take months. And what I say is basically the lucky ones have the hot flashes because it motivates them to find a doctor like me. But really, if you don't have hot flashes, it doesn't mean that you don't need to be on hormones. Like, hot flashes are not the standard.
Right.
They're not the standard. Some women have them and some don't. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, it's, you know, it's unfortunate for people going through it, obviously. But the point is that if it's not hot flashes and it's going to be depression, then it's going to be osteoporosis and it's going to be increased heart disease, it's going to be brain fog, it's going to be vaginal dryness, it's going to be, you know, dry skin, it's going to be urinary instability, or like bladder incontinence, you know, so it's not, it's really amazing all the benefits of estrogen that are replaced with a lot of other pharmaceuticals that are really just kind of geared at just addressing their specific symptom and not addressing the primary cause. That being said, this is not a cure for aging. I can't stop the aging process. But it is really, you know, amazing in terms of what it can do.
What surprised me is some of my friends in their 70s and 80s, they still have hot flashes. And one of them is would love to have some way to deal with it. And you think at a certain age the hot flashes will go away. But I'm finding that's not necessarily true with everyone.
Right, right. It's not true. And that's what, you know, there's a big misconception that it's just about getting through menopause. You know, like you're going somewhere great. Like there's some kind of spontaneous remission. And it's like, no, the body just eventually gets used to running on empty.
Interesting.
Right? So for some people, you know, their hot flashes go away and the body gets used to it, but silently the body is still suffering one way or another, and at some point you're going to be on some drug to address that problem.
Well, I will be honest, most of the women I know are not taking any drugs. What they do is, I guess, wild yams, primrose, their own homemade concoctions.
Mm-hmm.
And because of very much of a fear of the horror stories connected with HRT.
Right.
And so it's very, actually, one of the reasons I wanted you on the show is because there's so much now, so many women nowadays who don't do anything because of past fears.
Right.
You know, and a lot of what you're saying, I think the average woman is not getting this information.
That's true, and I've written, you know, a number of blog articles that you can refer them to that kind of go through and explain how far we've come since the WHI. And, you know, the WHI studies themselves, reanalyses have shown that, you know, for example, the women who are only taking the Premarin don't have an increased risk of breast cancer. So even within the Women's Health Initiative results, there's a lot of misinformation.
Now, what are the side effects of taking bioidentical hormones?
There can be side effects. For example, the way that I do it, women actually get their period back if they've lost it.
Oh, so God.
Yes. And so, you know, you can have some cramping or you can have some bleeding. It's usually much less than you had when you were naturally menstruating. And just so you know, they actually also do this in England, one of the big menopause clinics there, they promote continuing to have a menstrual bleed because that's, you know, the healthiest thing for the uterus. Beyond the uterus, I think it's the healthiest thing for the whole body. But anyways, you know, we have to put these risks down.
Right.
So, you know, that this could happen. But generally, getting on the hormones actually helps people regulate their period. But from a risk perspective, like on my informed consent and all that, I still have to say, like, oh, it may increase the risk of breast cancer. Oh, it may increase the risk of heart disease.
Right.
Because the medical community and the law looks at all hormones as being the same hormones.
Right.
So on the other end, it's my belief that the hormones, bioidentical hormones, can actually decrease your risk of breast cancer and heart disease. So both of those are on my informed consent just because.
Right.
The laws these days are crazy, and the interpretation of what these hormones actually are and what they can and can't do is so contradictory.
You know, I love the fact that you are a holistic menopause doctor because your approach is, to me, is very nurturing, looking at how the woman can heal herself from these issues without, you know, that quick in and out of the office. I like that very much. I just want to let our listeners, if you've just tuned in, know that I am speaking with Dr. Shira Miller, and she is Southern California's only concierge holistic menopause doctor. Dr. Miller, I'd love you to talk about male menopause. What is andropause?
Okay. So andropause basically is a very, very disputed term, and male menopause.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is because although the hormone levels do decline in men during the aging process, they don't lose the ability to reproduce, as we all know. So beyond that, I'm not really opposed to using the term because I focus on the hormone aspect of it anyways. So what happens is that in men, they start losing testosterone at approximately a rate of 1% per year. Now, depending on where you were at the age of 30, that may or may not cause problems in you as you age. Ultimately, though, once you reach the age of over 60, you're probably going to have a hormone deficiency in terms of testosterone. Okay? So what that can cause is pretty much, besides loss of fertility, the same types of symptoms that are found in women. So depression, anxiety, loss of vitality, loss of libido, loss of the ability to have erections, you know, sexual dysfunction, osteoporosis, heart disease. The difference really is, in with men and women, it's just the fertility issue, that the men retain the ability to reproduce.
Well, what would you, if a male came to you dealing with male menopause and perhaps not being able to have a strong erection, that type of thing, what do you say to those men?
Well, I have a lot to say to them because before they even come in, we usually do the blood work. We always do the blood work ahead of time. And I do a very comprehensive panel in addition to, you know, all the hormone levels, including testosterone. And so I come from a position of knowledge in knowing how to interpret a lot of the symptoms. That being said, the lab isn't always right. So I do believe the patient before I believe the blood work in most circumstances.
Yeah.
Not all circumstances, of course. I look at both, as well as the physical exam. And so you have to kind of take all the information that you have and kind of decide whether or not the level of testosterone is what's causing the problem. And you can also do tests for short periods of time to see if the hormone's helping or not helping. And you can do follow-up tests to see what the cause is of the low testosterone and approach it in different ways.
Is there something that men are given that helps them through this, such as bioidentical for male? I don't know.
Yes, so they are given bioidentical testosterone.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so it's the same thing. So it's a hormone deficiency. So in men, basically andropause or male menopause is primarily a testosterone deficiency. And the other big thing that is actually even more obvious is the effect of testosterone on muscle atrophy.
Oh.
Called sarcopenia. So men start losing, with the loss of testosterone, they start losing their muscle mass. And as you know, it's not necessarily noticeable, but for a lot of men, it is noticeable, even though they haven't changed their exercise habits, they haven't changed what they eat, they haven't changed anything. But now they've got a belly, and what's causing that? And the reason is that they're losing muscle mass. And muscle, the more muscle you have, the more calories it burns, the more energy it burns.
Oh.
And so basically their metabolism goes down because they have less muscle mass, because they have less testosterone.
Tell me, besides hormone balancing, what else do you do for your patients?
So I do a very comprehensive initial evaluation. My background is in traditional internal medicine, and so I have, you know, a very comprehensive diagnostic mind. And so I look at everything in general before the patient even comes in. We do a very comprehensive blood work.
Right.
And then when they come in, we spend 2 hours together going over all their past medical history, going over all the blood results, doing a physical exam, going over all the treatment options, and then coming to a decision. And part of what I do is also working on anything else that I find that's wrong with them, whether it's high blood pressure, diabetes, overweight, thyroid issues, depression issues, anxiety issues. I kind of cover everything. If I don't specialize in something that I find in a patient, then I can definitely refer them for that specific issue. But I really focus on helping them as much as possible treat whatever it is that I find using natural substances that I found in the human body. So if they have vitamin deficiencies, then replacing them with vitamins, or minerals, or if they have hormone deficiencies, replacing them with that, and looking for the nutritional deficiencies or lifestyle deficiencies are causing their problems as much as possible.
What have women told you once they've been on the bioidentical hormones for a bit? What are some of the responses that you've had from women as well as men?
They feel great, and that's always nice to say, oh, it's great, you know. But I think that, you know, the most powerful testimonial that I get is that I feel like myself again. I feel like a normal person again. You know, it's like you think about that, and you're just like, well, that's not, you know, it doesn't sound very sexy as a testimonial. But for my patients, that's great because they were pretty healthy before that. You know, a lot of my women and my clients in general, they take good care of themselves. They've been trying. They know about nutrition, and they know about vitamins and minerals and sleeping. I mean, they don't know everything, of course, but they have a general knowledge. I mean, they have some misconceptions, obviously, and it depends on what part of the country they come from. You know, a lot of patients, specifically from LA, are very up to date on all the holistic methods, and they're great. They come to me with, you know, all these questions from Google. It's really great. So the point is that it depends on where the patient is coming from, but generally a lot of my patients are very well informed, and so they were doing really great, you know, they healthy, and then they lost their hormones. So when they get the hormones back, they just feel like they're normal, just like their normal self again, and that is great for them.
That is excellent, because I will say I have had friends that have gone through menopause, and it's led to marriages ending, actually, and people having very difficult times because they're having a hard time adjusting to what's going on in their body. Well, speaking,
I know it's very sad, and you know, and the problem is that they think that they're supposed to adjust,
right,
and so they keep waiting. You know, and they think that they can just power through it, and they, you know, it's like a kind of like this badge of honor if you can survive menopause.
Oh, then you become a crone, so to speak, with a lot of wisdom. I'm curious, have you met regular doctors who you feel have been doing a great job with bioidentical? If a person decides that they may not be able to afford you, but they're going to go and speak to their doctor about bioidentical hormones for men and women, what kind of responses have you had? People say, well, I went to my doctor, and then I decided I'd come back to you?
What I usually recommend is going to through organizations that I'm affiliated with, for example, ACAM, the American College for Advancement in Medicine, ACAM.org. And you can find them on my website as well. My disclaimer is that I am on the board, but that's because I think that they're great. And, you know, basically, they are a wonderful public resource that you can just call or look online and find a doctor who does integrative medicine in your area. And those doctors have more of a chance of knowing what to do. How do you prescribe bioidentical hormones? Now, in terms of the specific type of bioidentical hormone replacement therapy that I do, so that's called the Wiley Protocol, W-I-L-E-Y, Wiley Protocol. And they have also a website. I think it's just www.thewileyprotocol.com or wileyprotocol.com.
Okay.
And so there's a section where you can, you know, put in your zip code, and you can find a Wiley doctor in your area that may or may not take insurance.
Okay. Now, we only have about a minute and a half, but I really wanted to ask you, what made you decide to go into treating menopausal women and men? What was the thing that made this a part of, to me, it's your mission, actually?
It took me a while to get into the world of integrative medicine, and as I was learning about all these different holistic alternatives, I actually happened to read the book called The Sexy Years by Suzanne Summers. And so, yeah, she's my hero here, and you know, at the same time, my mom was actually starting to go through menopause, and so it all kind of fit together, and I kind of became more aware that this was going to happen to me one day, too.
Right, right.
And so I just started, you know, learning as much as I could about it, and one thing led to another, and now it's what I do best.
I think you're excellent at this, by the way. We have to go now, but I want to tell you, this has been so educational. And I very much appreciate your taking the time to talk to us about menopause.
Thank you very much. Is there any way I can help you?
Oh, God, I'll be calling you. So what I'd like you to do before you leave, though, is give your website and a phone number that you'd like people to contact you.
Okay, sure. So it's www.shiramillermd.com, shiramillermd.com. I also have a big following on Facebook where I do give free general advice. I can't give personal medical advice, but that website is www.facebook.com/menopausedoctor.
Well, thank you so much. Oh, what? Can you want to give a phone number before you leave?
Sure. It's 1-0-734-8864.
So 310-734-8864. Thank you so much, Dr. Miller. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thanks. And this is Arts in the Valley, 1480 KYOS AM.